Lee, I know you had this in the news. South Carolina Senator Josh Kimbrell, who is running for governor, like everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Who's not running?
Yeah, this governor's race is going to be lit.
Oh, yeah.
And it started really over the weekend. Kimbrell facing a lawsuit alleging, we don't know what happened, we'll find out, alleging Kimbrell diverted more than $2 million in business funds from a business that he co-owned with the guy who's now suing him, Frank George Rogers of Greenville. I have a lot of questions, and I'm sure we'll see more about this. If he did divert the $2 million, that would be theft. So my question would be, where are the criminal charges?
Right.
Maybe there will be some as a result of this lawsuit. I don't know, or the criminal investigation, but this is...
And that's the point. This is a civil lawsuit.
Right. It is not a criminal charge.
And not to defend Kimbrell. He can defend himself if he chooses to do so. But, I mean, anybody can be sued for anything in civil court at any time. So I just think it's interesting that this case drops right now, as he has just a couple of weeks ago announced his intentions to run for the GOP nomination for governor.
He told News 4, we're witnessing a regrettable, uncorroborated case of lawfare from a disgruntled, absent business partner with no function or daily involvement in our operations. I'm confident the facts will come to light, leading to full vindication. So that's his version of it. The thing with Kimbrell is that every time he runs, it seems, at least for any kind of major position, he gets hit with something. This is February 19, 2015. Headline. Solicitor dismisses criminal sexual conduct charge against Joshua Kimbrell. Wait, what? 4 months after Joshua Kimbrell was charged with criminal sexual conduct with a minor, in a case involving his own son, prosecutors dropped the case against the upstate radio host. He was a radio host at the time. He's not anymore. For what they said was insufficient evidence. Kimbrell said it's been very difficult to live under the criminal charges that carry a life sentence for something you know you didn't do and that you also feel like was misrepresented by the police. So, Senator Kimbrell lives a very colorful life. And the color in his life tends to sort of bleed over into his political career. Very interesting individual that he keeps getting hit with this stuff. But it does seem to happen to him when he runs for office. So maybe this will end up without enough evidence as well.
Well, then we've got the whole situation with Nancy Mace and Alan Wilson. So,
I mean, that, and that's going to get that. We're not done with that either.
No, that's
that'll
be the next
weird
shoe to drop. Yeah.
Yeah, because you still have an open sled investigation into whether she was abused by, I guess, a former ex-fiance and, you know, people that he was friends with. And SLED has been investigating for more than a year and a half. They haven't charged anybody, but they haven't closed the investigation either. So I don't know what to make of it. She says the Capitol Police have done a better job investigating than state law enforcement. She personally blames Alan Wilson for the fact that there haven't been any charges. Alan Wilson says, what is she talking about? She could have called me at any time. I've seen her at events. She's never come up to me. She's never mentioned it. I didn't even know about it. So.
And then there's the lieutenant governor, Pamela Evatt, who may be, you know, getting into the race officially later this evening.
Yeah. So we'll see about that. I've got a lot of questions for her, too. I'd like to have her on the show. She has been a part of the most do-nothing governor's administration I think I have ever seen. So what does she want to do something? Because I got to tell you what, Henry McMaster has been absolutely pathetic and just total absentee governor. It's like we don't have a governor. So it's going to be really interesting to see all of these people running for office and kind of where, you know, where they end up. But I can tell you this, it is going to be a bruiser of a Republican primary for governor.
Almost as much fun as the Spartanburg County Sheriff special election, huh?
Yeah, that one's – those sheriff's races get down and dirty in South Carolina. They just do.
Well, I mean, It's an important position, and it is a very powerful position, both politically and, you know, legally, you know, because, you know, that's the way things are set up. You know, sheriffs, very powerful.
Yeah.
In the state, because you're over the entire county legal system pretty much.
And yeah, and they just end up going to prison a lot here in South Carolina.
Well, there have been some, yes.
Yeah, how many end up going to? There's well, always a, every
County
year it seems there's
Union
always
County.
Yeah,
and, well, anyway,
sheriff going to prison or charged with criminal charges, but not going to prison, but also maybe also going to prison. I mean, I was just.
And then you have some very good people who don't get in trouble, like, you know. Yeah. Our current Greenville County Sheriff so far.
Please don't get in trouble. I really like
Anderson
him.
County, there's another one that so far hasn't gotten any trouble. So,
yes. Yeah.
You know, yeah, well, let's be positive here now, Tara.
Meanwhile, heads up, something maybe to get used to. The cell phone law, Lee, going to take effect in just a few weeks here.
With regard to prisons?
No. No, they can still use their cell phones.
Oh, okay. Well,
illegally.
Okay.
But no, if you're driving.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the rest of us criminals.
Yes, the rest of us criminals. We all soon be criminals. No cell phone in the hand or lap while driving in South Carolina. Set to take effect September 1st. So while you can't hold it, if you have some kind of hands-free device, you can use that to have a conversation. But otherwise, something just to prepare for, if that's your norm, you know, are maybe doing work on the way home, or you're making calls, or you're whatever you're doing, or you're just checking your solitaire while you drive down the road. You're playing solitaire. I see people do that all the time and almost run me off the road. You can't do that anymore.
I did something recently. I bought a one of these independent screen things so that I can do the Apple CarPlay in my car, because it's an older car. It doesn't have the new built-in, you know, Apple CarPlay or whatever the Google brand thing is. And so I got that. And, of course, it's voice control. So my phone stays in my pocket. Yeah, I don't have to worry about it. And I can sit there and use voice commands and, you know, give me directions. You know, it'll, you know, read text messages if I get something, you know. But it was, you know, it's like a little over $100, and it's works great.
So yeah.
And if you've got an older vehicle, I'm sure you can relate to that. Because you don't buy the new vehicles. You always are very smart about your automotive purchases, and you pay cash for things. And, you know, so it's just a thought. And it's this little screen that sits up there on the dash. And, you know, you can don't have to worry about pulling out your phone, voice commands. It's all right there.
Yeah. So folks are going to have something like that because if you are, I mean, that is now illegal. So if you are, you know, seen with a, and there's a lot of dash cam now, seen, you know, with that cell phone, you cause an accident, that's illegal now. You could be at fault for the accident. And I'm talking to everybody who almost runs me off the road about it once a week.
Yes. The list of usual suspects on your route to work, right?
Yeah, no, because I live in a place where you have to take kind of a country road to get there. It's one of those old-fashioned ones that doesn't have a shoulder at all. And when it's always a woman in a caravan, I don't know what the deal is with that. But she, if it was someone else, I'd tell you. But it's not the same woman. It's different women. But they've got their cell phone and they'll have it like balanced up on the steering wheel, or they're not even gripping the steering wheel at that point anymore. They're just doing whatever they're doing on the cell phone, and they're drifting across the lane with not a care in the world. And I don't have anywhere I can go to escape you. There's no shoulder. You know, I'm just trying to grip the wheel and avoid a head-on collision. It's a wonder I'm still alive. You know, that's going to be illegal now. You have to stop the no solitaire while you're driving, no texting your friends while you're driving. If you want to do that, you got to pull over. So
have anyone ever thought about what's going to happen to that phone that you've got up there on the steering wheel when you run into something and the airbag goes off?
It'll leave a dent in your forehead. I don't know.
Probably more than a dent. It's like the people that put their feet up on the dash in the front seat. And, you know, people have lost legs when those been in collisions and airbags have gone off.
I did that most recently yesterday, but it's my teenager, my 15-year-old is learning to drive, and I will tap the brake that is on the dash. You know that brake?
Okay, yeah.
You know the one there?
Yeah.
The imaginary one? Yeah. My son says, "Why are you kicking the dashboard, Mom?" I'm like, "I'm hitting the brake."
Yeah.
It's the brake. It doesn't work, by the way.
No.
It's but it makes you feel better if you mash it with your foot. So,
and you got your point across.
I did. Well, you know what? It's completely reflexive. You know, it's that fight or flight that you have. No, son, you have to, no, you got a break there. That's, there we go. All right. More on this Epstein situation coming up next. The list of the people inside the Trump administration who say Epstein documents are being suppressed. I've seen them. It's really bad. There's a bunch of Johns. It's very long. And that's a big part of the problem, is that nobody believes the Trump administration when they say, oh, no big deal. No, no, Epstein totally abused the girls all by himself. And now they've got a bigger problem because Ghislaine Maxwell's like, oh, hey, me, yeah, no, I'm totally willing to come and testify before Congress. I'll tell you the truth. A list of people around Trump who say they've seen the documents, like his longtime friend and personal attorney, Alan Dershowitz.
So let me tell you, I know for a fact documents are being suppressed, and they're being suppressed to protect individuals. I know the names of the individuals. I know why they're being suppressed. I know who's suppressing them. But I'm bound by confidentiality from a judge and cases, and I can't disclose what I know. But I hand to God.
There's Alina Haba, Trump's other personal attorney. She represented him in the New York cases and at the time his White House counsel.
Epstein's case, it is incredibly disturbing. We have flight logs. We have information, names that will come out.
Is it going to be shocking?
I don't see how it's not shocking that there were so many individuals that were hidden and kept secret and not been held accountable. Let's talk about the reverse. I believe in accountability. So you have to now go through your process.
She says, yeah, it's shocking, the list of the Johns. Then, and I forgot about this till this weekend, there's Alex Acosta. Anybody remember him? He weirdly ended up in the Trump administration too. He's a former federal prosecutor down in Florida who got Epstein a wrist slap for trafficking children and selling them, allegedly, for sex. They originally were going to do a federal prosecution, but he backed down and used state law instead to get him a really light sentence. And when folks realized in the last Trump administration that Alex Acosta had been, you know, that he was the guy who let Epstein essentially off with house arrest, set him on a path to go right back to abusing girls, which he then did for more than another decade, he had to resign as labor secretary. Here's Rachel Campos Duffy over the weekend, this past weekend on Fox News. I had forgotten about this. What Alex Acosta said in his defense, he said, yeah, I let him off with a slap on his hand, the slap on his wrist, but there was a reason for that.
The former Trump administration official Acosta said that he was told to back off of Epstein, yeah, that he belonged to us, meaning the American intel agencies.
He belonged to us. Alex Acosta, and that was a big deal at the time. When it came back to bottom, he said, listen, I was told to go soft on him. He was ours. He was our operative. And then it got really weird over the week. I mean, I'm talking next level weird, and nobody bought it. So now there's this smackdown between Dan Bongino, the number two at the FBI, and Pam Bondi, with Bongino saying, hey, I totally disagree with that memo. We should release it. Word on the street being he didn't even show up for work. He was so upset. Had gotten in a fight with Bondi, who was Trump's head of the Department of Justice, Trump's attorney general. He's just outraged. Meanwhile, the number two at the Department of Justice says, what is he talking about? He signed off on the memo. He was fine with it. He's just reneging now that it's not particularly popular. Okay. Well, whose position is it that we shouldn't release this Epstein stuff? Is it Pam Bondi's? Is she the bad one? Because Trump interrupted her and slapped her down, too, pretty hard. Trump interrupted her at a press conference last week. Remember this? And just went off about how we need to ignore the Epstein thing. No big deal. forget about it. Too many other important things going on right now. And we just need to forget it. When Trump did that, he should have just kept his mouth shut. When Trump did that, he owned this thing. So I don't understand this. It almost looks like a fake fight between Bondi and Bongino over Bondi's wrong and Epstein's not in. You know, there's Johns and they're hiding the list. Well, this is Trump policy. I mean, Bondi's just carrying it out. Why isn't Dan Bongino mad at Trump? Why is he mad at Bondi?
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years. You're asking, we have Texas, we have this, we have all of the things. And are people still talking about this guy, this creep? That is unbelievable. Do you want to waste the time and do you feel like answering?
I don't mind answering.
I mean, I can't believe you're asking a question on Epstein at a time like this where we're having some of the greatest success and also tragedy with what happened in Texas. It just seems like a desecration, but you go ahead.
Now we're supposed to believe, though, that Bongino is mad at Bondi for holding this position, the same one Trump has on the Epstein files, but also not mad at Trump also. Meanwhile, Trump leaned into the whole thing, and none of it makes any sense with this post over the weekend on Truth Social. What's going on with my, quote, boys, and in some cases, gals? They're all going after Attorney General Pam Bondi, who's doing a fantastic job, he writes. We're on the same team, MAGA, and I don't like what's happening. We have a perfect administration, the talk of the world, and selfish people are trying to hurt it all over a guy who never dies, Jeffrey Epstein. For years, it's Epstein over and over. Why are we giving publicity to files written by Obama, Crooked Hillary, Comey, Brennan, and the losers and criminals of the Biden administration who conned the world with the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax, 51 intelligence agencies, the laptop from hell, and more? They created the Epstein files? Wait a minute, wait. Let's read that again. They created the... I thought there was nothing in the Epstein files. I thought it was just Epstein, thousands of videos of just him and some girls. They create what? Release them then. Release them. Just end this before it ends your presidency. Tank shit in the polls, because I'm telling you, he is in a world of hurt right now. Why didn't these radical left lunatics, he writes, release the Epstein files? And he says they created the Epstein files, just like they created the fake Hillary Clinton, Christopher Steele dossier that they used on me, and now my so-called friends are playing right into their hands. What? And he flat out says Obama, Crooked Hillary, Comey, Brennan, and losers created the files. So there are files? I thought there were no files. See, that was a position last week. No, there's no files. There's nothing. It's just a bunch of kiddie porn and it's just Epstein and the girls. That's it. Nobody else. I don't know how he found the time for hundreds of girls, but there was nobody else. But now we're hearing there are files. They were just created by Obama and Hillary. What? I mean, this raises more questions than it answers. Trump goes on, no matter how much success we have had securing the border, deporting criminals, he is on fire, okay? Best 2 weeks I've ever seen of a presidency, with maybe the exception of the Berlin Wall falling. I don't think there's another parallel to these last 2 weeks. It's been unbelievable. But he's admitting there are files and saying, 1 year ago, our country was dead, and now it's the hottest country anywhere in the world. That's true. Let's keep it that way, Trump writes, and not waste time and energy on Jeffrey Epstein, somebody that nobody cares about. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Well, now you've just said there are files, so that got it trending again on X. I got a theory on this. I'll tell you what it is next. Look, it was just a little strawberry farm raid, says California Governor Gavin Newsom. He made illegal immigrant children cry because their mommies were hauled away. That was a story from Newsom anyway. Newsom forgot a really critical detail. The owner of the pot farm, not strawberry farm, pot farm, that it turns out was employing illegal labor. We're now up to 14 children who are captured there. All of them unaccompanied minors. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Yeah, Newsom kind of forgot to mention when he was wailing on Trump and calling him scum for separating these undocumented minors from their mommies. By the way, there were no mommies. They're unaccompanied. Kind of forgot to mention the $10,000 political donation that he might have gotten from the plantation owner. Because this guy was running a modern-day plantation. Democrats are back to slaving. Kind of where they started all those years ago, when they were the ones defending slavery in the South. And we were the ones saying, eh, not going to do it. You can hear, as we're finding out here, the horror of what was going on at this pot farm. And folks, nobody better to lay it out than Stephen Miller, Trump's deputy chief of staff. But I'm going to set it up this way first. You can hear the horror in Griff Jenkins' voice as we realize the Democrats, the cartels, and this farmer were using slave labor, children slave labor.
But Tom, it strikes me unbelievable that the Democrats are not on board. When you look at this raid, there were 10 juveniles that were illegally brought across the border. You and I covered this under the Biden administration. I was down in Texas. We encountered a 8, 10-year-old, 12-year-olds coming across with just a name and an address and a phone number on their necks, the cartel ruthlessly sending them across. And yet now we know that 10 of them, 8 of which were unaccompanied minors working illegally in a marijuana farm, and your agents go in and rescue them essentially, and yet there is violent resistance to that. Does that upset you?
It certainly upsets me. Look, we're looking for over 300,000 missing children. We've already found 10,000. Have you heard that anywhere? No, the media is simply not covering it. And look, this should be a nonpartisan issue. Arresting public safety threats and national security threats, everybody be on the same page on that. Rescuing children, I mean, it should be a nonpartisan issue. Everybody should be in lockstep on that. But they're not. The media is lying. The Democrats are they don't want President Trump to be successful. I got news for him. We are being successful. Every illegal alien public safety threat we arrest makes this country safer. And we're rescuing thousands of children. The lives saved.
Okay, but folks don't really understand how bad this is. To really do that, you've got to go back 2014 to an article in the UK Guardian about what was going on in Guatemala. And then you've got to go forward to a Washington Times article from 2021. The average price the cartels buy one of these children for is $400. Sometimes it goes as high as $700. And they will gift the parents the money. Sometimes the parents sell them outright, but most of the time what the cartels do is say, hey, listen, you got 3 other kids there? Yeah, we'll kill them. You're going to sell this one to us. They just pick them up, take them off. They bring them to the Democrats, and they dump them at the border, knowing full well that they will just be given them, no questions asked, on the other side. So DHS detains them, and then they just give them to the illegal immigrant gang bangers, and they end up working as slaves. Now, they're not there because they just want a better life. They're not there because they just want to pick your strawberries for no money, and they were poor before. They are there against their will. Not only were they kidnapped, many of them, and these are the more fortunate ones. The ones that really have it bad were sold into sex slavery. Stephen Miller, deputy chief of staff for Donald Trump, estimates there are 100,000 of these virtual slaves kept by the Democrats and the cartels in California alone. And this is why they are working there.
They are protecting those who traffic in the suffering of children. And by the way, do you know why so many of these unaccompanied alien minors are being put to work in slave wages and slave conditions all across California? To pay off their cartel debts.
Yep.
The Democrat Party is funneling these profits, profits from rape, profits from exploitation, and yes, profits from murder, into the hands of the cartels that control the north of Mexico, that assassinate politicians, that assassinate judges, that assassinate women and children, and that smuggle fentanyl into our country. Cartels are waging war against America, and their allies are the Democrat Party. And their allies are the Democrat politicians that are incentivizing these migrant mobs to try to murder our ICE officers.
That's exactly what's going on. And then we find out Gavin Newsom's strawberry farmer. Guess she was working side by side by the illegal immigrant slave children. I can't believe we're slaving again as a country. This is crazy. Pedophile. Pedophile, illegal immigrant. Because of course he was. Of course he was. Convicted pedophile, illegal immigrant. Right there. And you know what? Trump needs to learn from this too. This idea that, well, you know, the farmers will vouch for them and we'll just hand them all, you know, agricultural visas. No, you're going to be handing pedophiles, rapists, the worst scum. Because the farmers who you want to vouch for them, they don't even know their real names. A lot of them are working on stolen Social Security cards. That's a problem. It's a huge problem. Anyway, they caught an illegal immigrant who was working beside the slaved children. He'd been sentenced to 7 years for kidnapping and attempted rape with a prior conviction for attempted child molestation. So, of course, he makes a beeline for the plantation where the child slaves are kept. And by the way, it's up to 14 now. Of course he does. You know what's great about this, though? This is not bad news. I know it might make you mad. We have finally, thanks to X, where we can have real news and the Democrats can't lie using their media, we've finally gotten a look at what they're actually doing. And it's going to blow your mind. Coming up next. Democrats running a true modern day plantation. Stephen Miller, Deputy Chief of Staff, lays it out for Martha McCallum on Fox News this weekend like no one else can. These are kidnapped, many of them, trafficked and sex trafficked children. They are not at a strawberry farm. They're at a marijuana farm. And they're not there because they just want to work, man. They just want to pick your pot to keep the price down. They're there because they have to be there. They are slaves. They have to pay off their cartel debt, or they or their family members back in their home country will be killed. Democrats make money harvesting off the top. Gavin Newsom got a $10,000 donation from this farm. What do you want to bet that is how ICE was able to figure out that they needed to go in there to rescue these children? But the state of California, which is supposed to be inspecting these farms, couldn't figure it out. I bet you they just pay him silence money. I bet that's why there's a $10,000 contribution to Gavin Newsom. And it's wink, wink, nod, nod, y'all. Here's Stephen Miller describing how the Democrats, when they're shooting at ICE officers. By the way, we had 3 attempted assassinations with a gun last week. We're going to have another 3 this week. Is this the new normal? Democrats just try to kill you if you try to free their slaves? Is that their child slaves? Is that where we are? I don't know. Listen to this from Stephen Miller, Trump's deputy chief of staff, about the 2 raids in California that got violent. Well, the Democrats got violent, trying to stop the liberation of these poor children. It's unbelievable when you understand what they were doing there. Because I got to tell you, Americans, even some folks on our side, look at this through rose-colored glasses. Well, they just want a better life. They're willing to do jobs Americans won't do. Of course they are. Because their whole family will be killed. Or they will. They owe the cartels a debt. You bet they're going to get on their knees and pick those strawberries or pot buds. They're going to do whatever they're told.
The president has been clear and consistent in saying that he's going to fight labor trafficking and child trafficking. And this marijuana plantation is a clear-cut example of labor trafficking and child trafficking, which are heinous crimes. Additionally, I don't know of anybody except the governor of California who would argue that a marijuana plantation is an essential component of America's food supply chain. And if you, everywhere you look in California, you see industrial child exploitation on a massive scale, an industrial scale. There are likely hundreds of thousands of children in California who are being exploited for their labor or sexually exploited as part of sex trafficking. This administration is liberating these children and helping reunify them with their parents back in their home country. What the Biden administration did with respect to child trafficking is one of the great crimes in human history.
Yep.
Over 500,000 children were illegally trafficked into the country under the previous administration. When we've gone and looked for these children, Martha, the addresses that the U.S. government provided In other words, the records that the government kept under Joe Biden are all fake. Nobody ever checked if the addresses were real. Nobody ever checked if the sponsors were real. Nobody ever checked if they were really even relatives or parents or relations or safe. We recently recovered a young illegal alien, for example, who had been raped repeatedly by the adult male that the Biden administration handed to her. She was under constant video surveillance and was coached exactly what to say if an officer ever knocked on her door so that she would never be rescued. We have example after example. We go to homes, 13, 14, 15-year-old children who are raped on a daily basis because the Biden administration, because the Democrat Party, chose to trap them into this country. So we will be unrelenting in our effort to free these kids.
Yeah, this is a huge story, and the Biden administration tried to push them out of these holding facilities at the border and into the arms of, you know, people who were picking them up. There were some cases where one person picked up 150 children. So I doubt very much that that was, you know, their
they
uncle.
Were not all their children.
Yeah.